bet you're wondering how I knew about your plans to make me blue with some other guy you knew before. Between the two of us guys, you know I loved it more. It took me by surprise, I must say, when I found out yesterday. Don't you know I heard it through the grapevine? Not much longer would you be mine. Ooh, I heard it through the grapevine. And I'm just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, heard it through the grapevine. Not much longer would you be my baby. I know a man ain't supposed to cry, but these tears I can't hold inside. 'Cause losing you would end my life, you see. 'Cause you mean that much to me. You should have told me yourself that you love someone else. Instead, I heard it through the grapevine. Not much longer would you be mine. Ooh, I heard it through the grapevine. And I'm just about to lose my mind, honey, honey.
Oh. Hi, guys.
Hi.
We're back.
Mm-hmm.
We're here.
And we're queer.
I knew it.
I was like, she's going to say it. She's going to say it.
All right.
Can't resist.
We're back. James, not you wrote first at 7:47. We were not here yet. Anyway.
He was truly first.
He was. He had to make sure. Like, I am here. All right, guys. I see there are a few people joining. Jump in, say hi, talk to us. It's all good. We are back. It has been a long time.
Is it really?
Our last show was like 2 weeks before Christmas. 2.5 weeks before. So it's been a month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because you know what? Even more than that, because of the cruise, we haven't filmed since before the cruise.
Mm.
A week before it. Mm.
Wow.
So we got a lot to talk about.
It don't even seem like it was that long.
Because it was Christmas time. It was the holidays, and you know how the holidays are.
Yeah.
So for our newcomers, if we have any so far, this is Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm Chrissy.
I'm Gigi.
And we just like to talk about stuff and have a good time. So
we don't just be yapping as Gen Z's. You know, Gen Z got this new word.
Sick of you and it's yapping.
It's my favorite thing that they created because people just be yapping.
They do.
They don't have no statistics. They don't have no learned experiences.
No substance.
No, not.
They just get on here.
Just yapping.
Everybody can have a podcast. You get a podcast. You get a podcast. I mean, it's kind of funny, but also like, can y'all at least get a little bit of structure? Like a little bit.
Oh my God. And Gen Z be like, you just yapping.
Oh, they truly are.
That's my favorite thing. Well, listen. Oh, well, you know, before I go and get into that, what had happened with you over this month that we've been gone? Mm-hmm.
We went on a cruise.
A cruise.
It was quite the experience.
Yes, definitely.
For people that have not been on cruises before, this was not the typical cruise. It was supposed to be, but Mother Nature decided she was going to wreak havoc on the Atlantic. And so it was quite an experience. And I had everybody that went, this was supposed to be for my birthday, everybody that went was new cruisers except for two other people. So yeah, it was an interesting first time for most of them.
Everybody on the boat was saying, this is not like a cruise at all.
Yeah. And it wasn't just us. Other ships were stuck to and had issues too, because we were just in the middle of a storm, basically. So we didn't get to make all of our stops, but we made the best of it. And even though things were rough, everybody that went was like, you know what? I'd still do another cruise. Like, it's yeah. okay. So this is why, like, you just can't control things. And mm-hmm. I have a really bad problem with that.
Control?
Yes. Like, I need control in all things. And I need for, like, stuff to be good when people come with me. Like, I need it to be good. So I was, like, freaking out. And then I was like, you know what? This is kind of what I get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't control this, and I just have to, like, make the best of it, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
And we still had a good time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yay, Lay said she had a good time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I definitely had a good time, and I definitely was looking up new cruises after I got off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the best part of the whole experience was the cruise director.
He was definitely. Amazing. He mm-hmm. was amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
So there was that, cruise, Christmas, my birthday, my now significant other's birthday.
Yes.
And I went to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I've explained it, and I've done TikToks. If you guys follow me on TikTok, I've, like, tried to highlight stuff. So I'm not going to take up the whole show doing that here, but the highlights were the cruise, my birthday, me getting into an official relationship for the first time in a very, very long time, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and Mexico.
Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Some good things. And what about you?
All right, let me see.
it's been a month.
What they say in Love and Hip Hop when they're not doing nothing?
I'm in the studio.
I've been in the studio. You know, just working on myself
in my bag.
Just going, just trying to get to the bag, you know.
They all said that. They be like, in the studio. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because where's your songs? Where's the songs?
So, funny. Unlisted has an album coming out. And we are going, we haven't did a release day yet.
Okay.
But we will say that, you know, on the podcast. I will say that on the podcast. And hopefully the band can come on. And
oh, that would be a good time.
I think, yeah, like that. And also, I have a new thing coming out on February 1st. I'm calling it a thing for now until probably the Monday before. And then I'll actually announce it.
Okay.
What it is.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. But other than that, I would just say, like, I'm on dry January. I don't drink anything stronger than 6%.
Oh.
Yeah. But when that's done, I'm back at it, you know.
Every January, I forget about this. And I'd be like, let's try. And then I'll just be staring at it. Because why you do this in January?
Dry January, sober October.
Okay. I'm going to remember 1 year. Try.
Yes. We also, oh, speaking of that, I am officially with the Baltimore Bartenders Guild.
Woo! Yeah. We need to clap sound.
They actually have mocktail, like, whole events for Dry January. And at the meeting we had, I tried something called Deep Fake. It tasted exactly like beer.
Oh.
So if you have, like, a problem, like, and you need to not drink beer, but you still need to drink beer, I would definitely suggest.
Okay.
It's from Flying Dog, and it's the, I'm not sponsoring these people, but I am going to sponsor some people. You see how I did that segue?
All right. So we sponsoring now.
Yes. So, sponsor in a friendship way. There's a company called, you guys know that we drink every time y'all see us, we drinking something. So I figure, you know, we can start drinking actual companies, like businesses mm-hmm. in Baltimore and other places that, you know, need some promo and stuff like that. So there's a company called Queer Agenda Coffee, and I'm very proud of these guys, and I really want you guys to support them. So they make coffee, and they make tea, and they also make stickers, and they're really cool stickers.
Yeah.
But I think they might make other things, but this is what I have. So this coffee is called Gay Panic. Did you buy coffee?
No, I just
you got tea. Yeah, okay. So Gay Panic. They also have Some more coffees they have. It's called U-Haul Cold Brew Blend. Brunch.
I'll put their Instagram up on the screen for y'all.
Brunch Bitch Blend. God Hates Decaf. Those are some of the coffees they have. They have others. This one, this tea is called Sativa. It's so good. It's green tea, ginger with turmeric. And they have other teas. What was your tea called?
Black Joy?
Oh.
I think something like that.
Or is it gay something? No, this wait. No,
I think it's gay. Black. I think it's Black Joy.
Black Joy.
Yeah. So I put, you guys can see, I put their Instagram up.
And their that's that TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Their TikTok, and they also have Instagram.
Yeah. So they're basically activists, and they support trans kids and LGBT, and they advocate for reading, and y'all know I'm really into that.
Yes, reading is fundamental.
Absolutely.
I'll put this back up for you guys a little later at the end so you can make sure you give them a follow.
Follow them, definitely. And we are drinking Sativa, and it's nothing to do with weed.
Oh.
Tonight. I did it the Asian way. I didn't put any tea bags in. I just put the leaves.
Put it in there.
Yeah. Mm. And then this is the witch in me. You just read the tea leaves after.
Y'all like my cup? Look, Lace got me this for my birthday 1 year. It was the mug said classy. I had a cup that said bougie, and then shot glass that said ratchet, you know, Megan. Yeah,
I can't do it. But the company, it's two people. They're my co-workers, actually. They're called like their things.
Mm-hmm.
Their names are Chris
really
and Haley.
Good.
I know, it's really good. And Chris, he's literally a genius. Like, he puts together things, herbs and coffees, and the way that he creates like coffee drinks and everything like that is genius. And I never said this to Chris, but I said Haley is the rings. And like, the way that they put this business, I met them in March last year, and they didn't have a business. Now they have a business.
Wait a minute.
Right? They're just like amazing. And yeah. I think, you know, I just want everybody to support them, and you're going to see them, their more products here.
Yes. Yeah. They were actually really nice too. Like, yeah, when I met them at the, what was it? Like a farmer's market?
Yeah, it was like a queer market. Like,
okay.
For LGBT. It was,
yeah. And they were very, very nice. Yeah. And like, they were able to like explain the product. And I think that's really important. Like, that's really good for business. Because some people, they just be yapping.
Yeah, they be yapping. They don't know.
They don't know nothing about their product. They don't know nothing. Like, yeah, they were very like informative. Yes. And like, this tastes like this, and this is if you want this. So yeah, if you're a tea drinker, coffee drinker, definitely support.
Yes, it's crazy how they put that together. I'm just so proud of them and inspired by them and everything, because what I'm putting out February 1st took about 15 years, and they did this in months. So I just want, you know,
I can't wait to hear about February 1st.
I know. But anyway, support them. We're going to put that up later.
Yes.
So our topic today is weaponized incompetence. And our title is Make a Decision.
Yes.
So while I was researching this topic, a lot of women kept saying, just make an executive decision. So if you don't know what weaponized incompetence is, a lot of people will say that it was just created by TikTok last year, but the words weaponized incompetence was created by TikTok, but it actually has other names that we've been using for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just like manipulation and like, yeah, things like that.
Now they're buzzwords.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's definitely always, you know, been a thing.
Yeah. So if I could read this, weaponized incompetence is a form of passive aggressive behavior where an individual deliberately performs tasks poorly or pretends to be incapable of completing certain tasks. This manipulation tactic is often used to avoid responsibility, forcing others to take over and perform the task instead. Weaponized incompetence can occur in various contexts. For example, imagine you're coming home from a business trip and the house is in disarray. You ask your partner, why is the house a mess? They respond with, I'm not good with cleaning, so I thought you could do it. Or they try to flatter you by saying, I don't know how to stack the dishwasher the way you do it, so I just left the dishes in the sink. While the term weaponized incompetence has gone viral on TikTok in the recent years, the concept has actually been around for decades. 2007, journalist Jared Sandberg described the phenomenon in a Wall Street Journal article about strategic incompetence. That's what they call it, strategic incompetence.
Okay.
Even earlier than that, in 1986, the business theorist Chris Argyris published a piece in the Harvard Business Review in which he described it as skilled incompetence. So it's a lot of names for this. Some other terms you may have heard include willful incompetence or malicious incompetence and weaponized ignorance. Mm-hmm. So we're going to show you some clips that basically describe what this is. And you've probably seen these this stuff already, but like I just thought it was so crazy. I actually had to turn them off. Say, babe, why I'm in crazy? Like,
all right. I named them based on what was about. Did you have one that you wanted to play first? Because they kind of
play all of them first before the man, the narcissist man.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We gonna go. Y'all, let me know if you have any issues with this. It's a new thing.
I'm gonna give you guys two real quick examples of weaponized incompetence. So he asked for more butter, and of course, I'm the one who does all the recipe planning, all the grocery shopping, all the meal prep, all the cooking, and all the cleanup. I even make him his plate and bring it to him, because I'm fucking Southern. So I brought him this, and he tried to give it back to me, and I was like, no, dude, I'm gonna go eat my food. Why don't you take it back to the kitchen when you're done? Yeah, he took it back all right. And just threw our butter container with butter in it still in dirty dishwater. Oh, here, let me show you the second one. I asked him to wash dishes, and I almost sliced my hand open, not once, but twice, because this was how he left the knives.
All right, that's one.
Yikes.
That is, I'm trying to make sure I don't play the wrong one first. All right, this one.
I'm going to show you guys what weaponized incompetence is. It's something my baby daddy loves to use against me very, very well. Last night, I went to bed at like 10. I asked him, hey, can you please clean the bottles, right? And he did. He cleaned the bottles. They're right there. He also did not put dinner away. So there's that. He was in charge of dinner last night, and he just ordered us food. I can't do that because I'm not allowed to do that. But anyway, he left dishes in the sink because I didn't ask him to do that either. So if I were to ask, oh, and he left a pan over there. So if I were to ask him, hey, I thought I asked you to pick up the kitchen last night. Oh, well, you only told me to clean the bottles, and I did clean the bottles. You didn't tell me to put the food away, and you didn't tell me to clean up the rest of it. That's weaponized incompetence. He's playing stupid to basically win an argument. Don't settle for this. And I'm going to start doing videos like this because I can't get out of my situation anytime soon. There are many different forms of abuse, and this is one of them.
I might get a lot of hate for what I'm about to say, but is it possible that your man left the pizza boxes out last night because you can do that? It's just like pizza bread that gets left out. As far as the one glass and the one plate that I see in the sink, I think that it's possible. He cleaned up all the dinner dishes, but then it's possible that he grabbed himself a snack and a drink to watch some TV and relax, and those dishes ended up in the sink because the dishwasher was running. Or maybe he's the type that likes a full sink of dishes to build up before he actually puts them in the dishwasher. And as for the pan, it kind of looks clean and like it belongs there. I don't know, some people leave the most frequently used pans on their stove. My entire point is that your man probably has no idea that you're this upset. Well, until he sees this TikTok. And then he's gonna feel a certain way about you shaming him on TikTok instead of just communicating with him and getting on the same page so that you both feel like partners.
A few days ago, I got on this app and I said this. Stay away from men that are always trying to teach you a lesson. This man right here is the perfect example of exactly what I was talking about.
Single guys, here's what it's like being married. My wife sent me to the store to buy the ingredients for pumpkin bars. I'm walking the aisles and realize canned pumpkin, not on the list. Is this a mistake? Do we already have it? Let's call the wife to find out. She sends me straight to voicemail, shoots a text, can't talk. I respond with my dilemma and continue shopping. 10 minutes later, I'm ready to go. Still don't have a response. Call her again. Straight to voicemail, can't talk. Text her again. Need an answer. Wait 5 minutes, leave. Now, could I have bought canned pumpkin? Yes, but if we already have it, it's going to sit on the shelf for a year. You only use it at Thanksgiving. Halfway home, I get a text. We need canned pumpkin. I tell her I'm gone. She asks, can you go back? No, I called you twice. Now my wife is mad at me because she has to go to the store herself. Marriage.
Is this the canned pumpkin that he was so pressed about that he couldn't possibly just pick up and buy? You are a grown man who I'm sure wants to be referred to as a leader. You couldn't make the executive decision to pick up the can. You're standing in a grocery store for 10 minutes in front of canned pumpkins. And you needed your wife to tell you whether to get it or not? And you're a leader? Of what? No, he wanted to prove a point to her. This is what I was talking about. He wanted to teach her a lesson. What he was really mad about is that he called her a couple of times and she was too busy to talk to him. That's what he was really mad about. Instead of being honest and saying, I got frustrated that she couldn't confirm while I was at the store, so I left. But why not just pick it up? He had an opportunity before he even got home to make that situation right, but he didn't want to do that because that wouldn't teach her the lesson the way he wanted to teach her. When she texted him, like, that's fine, but he's like, I already left. Turn back around. He wanted to get home and say, well, I tried to call you, which is immature and petty. It was all because he wanted to teach her, when I call you, you better answer. These are the kind of men that I'm talking about, trying to teach you a lesson. This is not what marriage is like. It's what marriage is like when you're married to an immature man-child like him.
Last one.
All right, guys, last one.
So watch this, y'all. Get out the way. Returning home after my 11-day vacation. Look at this. Yo. This is on purpose. Paper towel. So I'm not saying that her partner is a narcissist, y'all, but that is an example of weaponized incompetence. And of course, if you knew her, I'm actually a diagnosed narcissist, and I point out toxic people's traits and behaviors. Yo, that's on purpose. That right there, this right here is an example of, like, I was trying to clean it up, but you do a better job at it. This is when people play stupid or play dumb and just make it seem like you do tasks better, so they just allow you to do it. Like, you can pick the paper towel roll up or any of these toys or anything. And no, it's not just the kids either, because those are adult shoes right there, y'all. This is absolutely on purpose. This is like a punishment for going on a vacation and leaving me here with the kids. I'm gonna show you what happens. So if you're dealing with this or you're a victim of this, it makes you not want to go on vacation anymore because you don't want to come home to that right there. You can't enjoy time to yourself because you're scared of what you're gonna come home to. Like, home absolutely destroyed or whatever, kids, you know, it just, her caption said, at least he kept the kids alive. Telling you, if you have a toxic, narcissistic partner, they will do this type of stuff on purpose just to pay you back for going out of town and leaving the hair with the kids. So you don't want to do it anymore. And no, your partner doesn't have to be a narcissist to do that, but weaponized incompetence is a real thing, y'all. Oh, I don't know how to wash the clothes, so you do it better. I don't know how to run the dishwasher, because you just do it better. They come out cleaner when you do it. It is absolutely 100% on purpose, and it's conditioning you to do everything. And before the toxic people hop in the comment section and saying, well, like, what, maybe the other person pays all the bills and it's their job to clean up. Shut the fuck up. Like, literally, shut the fuck up. Like, when did paying all the bills absolve you of doing anything at home? Anything. That, woo!
Yikes. So how you feel about those? All right, so out of all of them, the thing that made me the most mad was, why did he look like he threw the whole house on the floor on purpose? Mm-hmm. Like, that one really got under my skin. Full of rage. James said, my friends, when it comes to planning things, no, I actually witnessed them do this to him. Like, they'd be like, but you do it better. Oh, like, you're the planner.
Yeah,
so it's a fine line, because there are some things that mm-hmm. your partner does do better, mm-hmm. and so maybe you defer to them for it. But the fact that you, like, will completely refuse, mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to do this at all because they do it better.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
So So I know that was everybody in a relationship.
Yeah.
But it's way past relationships.
Right.
It's even your parents, when they get older, they do it.
Oh,
your kids are the first people to do it. And parent and students do it to their teachers. So, like, sometimes they'll be like, I can't do this. I can't do this problem, or I can't read this book or stuff like that. They're fully capable.
But kids are the masters.
Up. Yeah, they're the creators though. Which is why they say when grown-ups do it, they call it being like children, because children, you know, Xander, he's a pro.
Yeah, he can do. He can do so much.
Yeah, he can do a lot, and he'll just be like, "She's gonna do it for me, so I'm just gonna pretend I can't do it right here."
Mm-hmm.
So when they're kids, you just gotta get it out of them. But when they're growing up, not so cute. No, not so cute.
Not cute at all. You know, that's so funny, because yesterday, when she told him to go do his homework, like, he had come out, and I said, "You okay?" And he was like, "I'm hungry." And I said, "Okay, well, where are you at with your homework? Let me see it." And I fully expected him to bring me a blank paper because he was going to be like, I'm too hungry. But he actually, I was impressed. Like, he got all the questions right. I said, so you really just be playing with us. Like,
yeah, that's why I told him to go in there and do it. Because I know he knew what he's doing. So he phony. But I'm on to him.
Yeah, you are.
So a lot of people be like, is it weaponized incompetence, or is it just incompetent? So incompetent is the inability to do something successfully. So if you're incompetent, you're not able to complete a task. Like, if you only ever made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you will be incompetent in a kitchen or a fancy French restaurant. Mm-hmm. Someone who is not very good at getting a job done is incompetent. An incompetent salesperson can't sell anything. So basically, if you're not good at something, you're incompetent. So weaponized is when you can do it.
Yeah, you're just using
the other person, or you're just doing it bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw this another TikTok. I couldn't download it, so I didn't save it. But a lady said she went into the comment section, and a husband said he just had a baby, and his wife kept asking him to do stuff. And he said, "How do I get out of doing stuff? What can I do?" And it was like to men, like a men form.
Yeah.
And she said the second comment was the top. It was two top comments. The second one was, you have to do everything bad, and she'll stop asking. Basically, do everything she asks, but do it poorly. And then the first top comment was basically, it was saying, yes, he's correct, but he was showing him how to do things. Like, you got to break the dishes when you wash them. You got to burn the toast when you make it. Like, you got to... He was like telling him all this stuff to do, and she won't ask him to do anything. He just had a newborn baby. His wife just had a newborn baby.
Right.
And he was getting out of doing stuff, and the men was helping him do it. And she said, I'm full of rage.
I just felt like that. What?
And so, like, it's definitely
not something. How do I get out of doing
how
stuff?
How do I get out of doing it? That is, I would just absolutely. Like, I don't know. I never really thought about this. I never thought about it as a thing. But when people kept talking about it, I was like, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that.
You know what's funny? Because remember we was just talking about when somebody not pulling their weight and what you do when they're not pulling their weight. Like, of course, most people are going to take on the reins and do it. And I told you, I was like, when it gets too bad, I stop doing everything. Mm-hmm. We just going to be sitting here in some dirt because I'm not doing it. But
that's what got me. Yeah,
Made
me want to do this topic.
Yeah, because I really was like, I don't know what else to do. Yeah. And then going back to what James said with his friends, he literally stopped planning trips. He's like, I'm not doing it. Yeah. I'm not doing it. And they are so hurt. They're like, when is our next trip? He's like, I don't know when y'all plan
it.
He's like, let me know the details. I'll be there, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So I was like, you literally have to just stop. Yeah. But you some stuff you can't stop.
You
like
can't stop feeding your kids.
Right. Like, I can't not wash clothes at all.
Yeah.
Like, just gonna be walking around with dirty clothes forever. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do when it's something that you can't, like, you literally can't stop doing?
And that's why a lot of relationships end because of weaponizing confidence.
Yeah.
And it creates resentment. Weaponizing confidence can create an imbalance in relationships because one partner is over-functioning and the other is under-functioning.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you come home from work and your partner just get on the game and you got to cook dinner, get the kids ready,
this what the game
do that homework. Get them ready for bed. And the whole time you did all that, your partner, all he did was eat dinner. And that's it. You would just...
People lose it.
You would just lose it after a while. And I'm not saying he, I'm going to say they, because I saw a gay couple. He was going through it too with his partner. He was like, why can't you... He was in the closet yelling like, why can't you fold clothes? And the partner was like, oh, you do it better than me. He's like, that's weaponizing confidence. He was wilding out in the closet. And I was like, oh my goodness.
I think for men and women, like, the reverse probably happens a lot when the man is, you know, significantly maybe older and they've been on their own for a while and they might get a girl from right from her parents. And they probably like, I'm not doing this. He can do this. He can take care of me. Like that helplessness.
Yeah.
He can take care of me. And it's like, you just got to stop. Like, whoever is going through it, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is besides stop.
Yeah. It honestly, so you got to, if you communicate and they still doing it.
Yeah.
It's really nothing you can do but stop. And then they'll be like, hey, what is going on?
Get your own dinner.
Yeah. Yes. So why do people weaponize incompetence? They want to shirk responsibility. Basically, practicing weaponizing competence helps people shirk responsibility, such as household chores, childcare duties, and financial responsibilities, and also emotional labor.
Mm-hmm.
They avoid discomfort. Weaponizing competence can help someone avoid the discomfort of having to deal with tasks which has caused them experience insecurity, doubt, or fear. Offloading the task eases their anxiety around it, and their partner who carries the weight offers a false sense of protection. That's probably what you were saying with the older man.
Yeah.
So they seek attention. Some people use weaponizing confidence to seek attention from their partner by appearing helpless or incapable, and they may elicit their partner's attention, sympathy, or support. I can see women doing that.
Yeah.
Maintain control in relationships where there is a severe imbalance of power, such as an abusive relationship, people may use weaponizing confidence to manipulate their partners and maintain control over them.
Yeah. James just brought up a good point. I'm going to put it up here. He said sometimes people have differences in standards, which could lead to perceived weaponizing competence. Because sometimes it's actually that. And then maybe sometimes there is like, I have this standard of things and you have that standard of things. And I literally can't do it like you, but actual incompetence to that person.
Yeah,
to that person.
So that goes to our next topic. Can the person actually be incompetent? It is possible that your partner isn't faking it and generally doesn't know how to do something.
Right.
In some cases, an individual might truly feel that they are not sufficiently competent at a certain task. They may express this and their partner may in turn assume the task for them. This, however, reinforces the dynamic of incompetence versus competence.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, perhaps the person had a privileged childhood where they didn't have to help out with household chores. Mm. Or perhaps they were overly spoiled by their parents and caregivers and never learned how to take care of themselves. If the person continues to avoid the task in adulthood, the imbalance will continue and they will never gain competence.
So do you teach... Here's my question, and y'all can answer this too. I know most of us in this chat are in our 30s, mid-30s at this point, at least. You get in a new relationship and you realize the person can't do something. Are you willing to teach them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you willing to actually have the conversation like, hey, I noticed when you wash dishes, they still dirty. Like,
not like I that. Noticed.
How do you even say it? Yeah, because it just comes off like, like, how do you even have that conversation with somebody in their 30s? Like, you can't wash dishes. Or every time you do this, it's wrong without coming off like a nag. Like, how do you have the conversation
the way
they're actually incompetent?
Yeah, exactly. So the way that I do it, because I train at work, so you have to tell people if they're doing something wrong. I like the way you do that, but let me show you a better way to do that. And or if they are leaving dishes dirty, you'd be like, well, I noticed that there was still a little film on the dishes after you finished them. Here's how you can get rid of that for next time. Basically, yeah. Show them how to fix that. Mm-hmm. See, my mom, she always taught us how to iron. She taught us everything, but she taught us how to iron clothes, and it never stuck. I still know how to iron clothes. Bye. I'm just completely...
Y'all said send smoke signals.
It's something... It's a lot of things I could do. Ironing clothes is not one of them.
Yeah.
And I never get it right. I don't know. It's something wrong with me. I don't know. But Mo is way better at ironing clothes. So I would say, I would ask him, to iron my stuff. Right. And like you said, if someone is better, they're just better at it.
Right, right.
I tried a million years to iron.
Not a million years.
I can't iron.
Yeah.
It'd be still wrinkly. I'd be burning stuff. And I'd be having wet spots on the...
I don't know how you do the wet spots. I'd be looking at you like, "What? How did you do this?" Some stuff you just gotta defer to the other person. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand, like, when it's that and when you're just, like, lazy.
Yeah.
Like, are you just not trying to do it? And with the washing dishes or, like, hey... Maybe you should try to use this because this seems to work better to get stuff off. Mm-hmm. Like, not so insulting, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Exactly, Lacey said, I just don't have the patience.
Yeah.
It's hard. Like, especially if you've been in relationships where you've taken care of people, mm-hmm. or you had a man baby or a woman baby, then afterwards you don't want to do it again. No. Like, even if they're not going to be like that, it's just your brain is like, oh, I'm about to have to do this again. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm yawning. Let me drink some.
Get some of the sativa. You're just eating leaves with it.
It's good. Hold on. This tea good, y'all.
It is really good. Did you put anything else in it?
I did. I put vanilla and sugar.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I need you to make my tea.
Okay. So here's some signs and examples of weaponizing confidence. So here's some phrases that make sense, signal it. I have no idea how to do that. Can you do it? I'm really not good at that. You do it so much better. This is your area of expertise. You're so great at it. I can do this, but I'm so slow at that. It's going to take forever. Remember how bad it was last time I tried doing that? See, the trick about this is they could really just be bad at it.
Because
I would say all this stuff about ironing to my wife. I just really can't iron. So
I feel like if it's one thing, mm-hmm. then okay.
Yeah.
Like, if I know I'm better at, like, washing the dishes, but my partner is better at some other chore.
Mm-hmm. Cooking chicken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then he gonna cook the chicken and I'm gonna wash the dishes.
Yeah.
But if it starts to be like everything, okay, like, come on now. Mm-hmm. And even like if I'm gone for a week and he don't wash the dishes at all, then I'm gonna be annoyed.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I know I'm better at it and I know generally I wash the dishes, mm-hmm. but I was gone for a week.
Yeah.
So that's when I would get irritated. Or like, I bought chicken a week ago. And he gone. And I'm going to sit there and let the chicken go bad and wait and wait and wait because I don't want... No. Like, that's when it's going too far.
Yeah. Or like, say the dog needs to eat chicken. Like, it's on a chicken diet.
Yeah.
And he buys some chicken and think, babe, this is the instructions for the chicken.
Right.
And you please cook the chicken for the dog. And you don't never do it.
Nope. I ain't doing it.
It's he like, come no. home like, so you just went off the diet of the dog? That's just so irritating. Okay, here's some more examples. Making the bed. You ask your partner to make the bed, but you end up having to show them how. Buying groceries. You send your partner to buy groceries and they forget half the items on the list. Putting away groceries. Your partner puts groceries away randomly without paying attention to where they're supposed to go.
Listen, some people just better at that one. Hold on, because Mo Tetris. Because I'm not putting the groceries. I'm sorry, y'all. Here go my weaponized.
Yeah.
Opposite.
Oh, is it both?
It's both.
Because no, but at least we'll go to the space there. We called out. We must be called out.
All right. We must be called out too.
Sometimes you got to preach to yourself.
I thought about when you talk about making a bed. I tell a funny story real quick. Okay. Because James asked me to make his bed, y'all. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. Y'all, why not knock over the whole wax? He had a wax warmer that was on with the candle in it.
God.
I knocked it everywhere.
The wax and everything. Everything
under his bed, on the carpet, on me. I burnt my foot. Like, he was like,
that's a competence.
I made my bed from that. The first test failed. Gave me one test now that we was together. Can you make my bed for me? Now knock everything over, y'all.
I just thought about it because of the incompetence. Sometimes these stories.
Shut up. He said it looked like there was gin everywhere. So sometimes it's real incompetent, y'all. Just wanted to say that.
Okay. Sorry. Partner cooks a meal, but it's boxed meal like macaroni and cheese that's not healthy or nutritious. So some of these is like if they all right, so there's some things. If your partner can't cook, then you're gonna get this ramen, right? But yeah. if you see them cook steak and eggs for themselves and then they burn your ramen,
then we not
that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dust yeah. in the house. Your extra partner dust around the house, so you don't do a thorough job. So many surfaces are still dusty. I hate that. Sweeping the floor. You ask your partner to sweep the floor, but it takes forever for them to complete, and they complain the whole time.
And your feet still crunchy.
Yes. During the dishes. Doing the dishes, your partner puts off doing dishes until you do them yourself. Caring for the children. You ask your partner to change the baby's diaper, but they don't know what supplies are kept. That happens a lot. Making cake. Your partner bakes a cake, but leaves a giant mess in the kitchen that you have to deal with. Well, one for that one and cooking. If you bake and cook, I feel like your partner should clean it. Yeah. But it depends on you guys. Like, you got to set that first. You can't just expect it.
I think a lot of this is poor communication.
Yeah.
And then if you do communicate, and like you said earlier, it continues, then we starting to think, okay, you really just don't care or you're not listening.
Yeah, exactly. Just not listening. And basically that's what ends up ruining the relationship, because the person that has to deal with the incompetence are feeling like they aren't being heard and they're being disrespected because you're not doing.
Please look at Travis's comment.
I'm so sick of you.
Hello, straight Cheerios.
Yes, Cheerios and red Kool-Aid juice. That you got gathered in the palm of your hand.
I'm not taking my shoes off. All right, I'm done.
So if you are making major decisions and your partner is just listening and they don't ever make decisions, they just let you handle all the decisions, that can be weaponizing confidence.
Yeah. So,
how it affects your relationship. Over time, effects of weaponizing confidence can erode a relationship. Yeah, we said that. Yeah. Repeated instances of manipulation and avoidance can weaken the bond between you and your partner, leading to increased frustration, dissatisfaction, and ultimately deterioration. Weaponizing confidence creates an imbalance in the relationship where one partner shoulders the majority of the responsibilities. An imbalance of responsibilities can lead to conflicting feelings about the relationship. Mm-hmm. While you may love your partner and care about them, you may also grow frustrated and start to resent them for not helping out more. That resentment is real. Because if you keep doing all the work, you're going to be like, why do you get to sit there? Why do you get to sit on the couch all day? Because you ain't say nothing.
Right. Yeah. And then I was thinking about this as you was reading that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how, like, of course, they say submit to your partner.
Yeah.
So, I also think sometimes, what if somebody's, like, such a good leader, they end up creating a monster. Mm. Because they're such a good leader that now I'm deferring to you for everything. And, like, whereas I used to make all these decisions, I used to do this, now I don't have to. So now I'm lazy. But, like, I still want you to lead me. I guess you have to like balance it though.
It's a balance. Yeah. Yeah. Because I know a lot of girls and women in my church that ended up that way because it was supposed to be submit to your husband. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them became lazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's I always promised myself I wouldn't be like that, and I didn't.
Yeah. We should do a whole episode on submitting and that whole thing too. Mm-hmm. Because I'm learning now that it doesn't have to be a negative thing, but unfortunately, because the older generations made it such a negative mm-hmm. thing, it's like it makes you helpless. Yeah. And when I think submit now, I think helpless. But that's why I said submit to your partner when mm-hmm. I just said it, and not submit to your man mm-hmm. or submit to your husband. Because I think both, like, you have, in some ways, you do submit to your partner mm-hmm. in certain ways. But yeah, you just can't let it be such a crutch that now you don't know how to do anything. And like, I don't mm-hmm. know, I can't possibly lift a finger. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you need to know how to take care of yourself.
I just hate the word submit.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a team. When you playing on a team, when the Ravens play, when they make their plays.
When the Ravens play, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, the greatest football team of all time. Yes. When they play, do they like say, is there a play or a word? Do they ever use the word submit?
I think it would be more like defer.
Okay.
Like the quarterback in some instances is known,
go on, yeah.
is known as the leader. So maybe if they're like having issues coming to a consensus, they defer to the leader mm-hmm. as opposed to like completely submitting yeah. To one person. It's more like, okay, this is if we are struggling. Mm-hmm. See, that's where I like it. Like if we are struggling, then maybe I should defer to my person as opposed to like, I'm helpless and I can't yeah. do anything. Please take care of me. No.
Yeah. Because words are important.
Yeah.
And submit has never been good in our society.
Right, right. No. It just has a bad connotation at this point.
Yeah. So I'd rather the defer.
Defer, yeah.
Because the team, your team, you're not, it's not like, mm-hmm. like you're both leaders.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you have all the men, like it's the managers in your store or mm-hmm. your restaurant or your business, yeah. you have multiple managers. So you're both the manager at a house.
Yep. And I just had this conversation about submit, and then the word defer was brought up, and it was brought up like, okay, if I know that my partner is better at cooking, then I will defer to him mm-hmm. when it comes to cooking. If he knows I'm better at cleaning and he has a question about something, he can defer mm-hmm. to me with that topic. Yeah. Like it should be more like situational
yes.
instead of like as a whole.
Yeah. Because okay. God didn't give leadership to everybody.
Right. Some people ain't got that ministry.
No. Mm. That's why it was always dumb to me when they said men always should be leaders and women not, because
that don't always work.
He didn't give the leadership to all the men.
Right. Right.
Like some women are leaders.
Yeah.
Some men are leaders.
That's true.
And some leaders don't have a gender.
Right.
So, like, and it didn't make any sense. But some more example. Well, some more, what is this called? I'm sorry. How it affects the relationship. Trust. It can be hard to trust your partner when you can't count on them for help or support in your daily life. You may mm-hmm. feel like you have to do everything yourself if you want it done properly, which is why a lot of women don't go on vacation mm-hmm. or they don't leave their kids with their husband
yeah.
or they don't and leave their pets sometimes with their husband.
Right.
They don't trust them to take mm-hmm. care of these things.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. You and your partner may fight and argue due to the skewed distribution of responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Communication breakdown. You may hesitate to express your concerns or frustrations, fearing that your partner will use innocence and incompetence as a defense mechanism to deflect responsibility. This communication breakdown can further strain the relationship. Basically, they're gaslighting you and manipulating you using like, well, I don't know how to do that.
Right.
You know, I don't know how to do that. We talked about this.
Right. Well, then get your ass in here and show you.
Yeah, exactly. Emotional disconnection as you feel increasingly unsupported in your relationship. You may start to emotionally disconnect from your partner. Mm-hmm. And that's when the breakup happens.
Yeah.
Because when she stops arguing, she already got somebody else.
Definitely. As soon as the argument's done, like, oh, mm-hmm. there's a reason.
Yeah. So you have to recognize the patterns. You have to discuss the issue.
You have to listen actively, and you have to establish boundaries and expectations. Then you have to assess the progress, meaning you have to check, you have to watch. Well, my best friend Corey, he said one of his favorite parts of a Beyonce song was, what is it called? Check up on me. What is it called? Check up.
Check on me.
Check up.
I know the song.
Yeah. I'm gonna let you check up on it. Yeah. Check up on it. Uh-huh. Is that what it is? I listened to that one, but he liked the part when she say, "Watch him while he check up on it," because he said you can let him lead, but you still gotta watch him to make sure. Because if you just let him just go, just do whatever, and you're not watching anything, he could be doing something wrong, and you caught it or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you gotta let him check up on it, and then watch him while he check on
it. The team effort.
Yeah. So and then if it's too bad, you seek professional help.
Mm.
Couples therapy.
Yeah. One of them people.
Yeah. So if it gets to the point of couples therapy and you're not doing the work, because couples therapy has saved a lot of relationships.
Yeah.
But
you gotta be honest.
Yeah, you have. It's if you're honest and you're actually doing the work in relationship.
And it's very uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
because there's going to be things that come up, and yeah, I don't know. I couldn't be a couples therapist. That's for sure.
Me neither.
Like, I can't do this with y'all.
I could be a couple's life coach or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if I got, I can't lie. I mean, not lie. They were like, what do you think? I'm not saying that. I'm going to say what I think.
Right, right. Life coach, you can be more hands-on.
Yeah. Like, because you need to, I guess, yeah, you guys need the person to come around.
Yes, they got to figure it out. You can give them strategies, but they still got to figure it out.
Yeah. Because if they do what you said, it may not help them.
Right.
So.
And then they're going, what I tell my clients, like, say, like, why don't you give advice? Why don't you tell me what to do? And I always say, if I tell you what to do and then I quit tomorrow, you're going to be distraught. Because now you need me to make your decisions.
That's true.
I need for you to be competent in your own life. Because you can't call me every time something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I might not be here. So mm-hmm. you need to learn how to do this yourself. I'm supposed to give you the tools so that you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
Definitely. And they're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yes. So therapists see this all the time, and it's a loaded issue. Bickering over housework may look trivial in the grand scheme of things, but for many couples, it's serious enough to make it to a therapist's couch.
Mm-hmm.
In my work with couples, one of the most common arguments about the division of the household is chores. Dr. Sharon Welford, a licensed clinical psychologist. Typically, women in relationships with men are the ones to voice frustration regarding the allocation of household chores. They express that they can't rely on their partner to complete the requested household tasks or to do so in a timely manner. Consequently, they will do the task themselves and resentment will build. Their partner, on the other hand, doesn't see the significance or urgency of doing the laundry when people in the household still have clean clothing. The trash is not entirely full, having a house spotless when guests arrive, etc. This partner can become defensive or shut down when they feel criticized, not good enough, or accused when his other contributions are not acknowledged. I definitely understand that. Mm-hmm. I understand both sides of that, definitely. Yeah. So a lot of times, and I know I had to work on this, being married, when I ask my husband to do something, I want it done right then.
Yeah.
And I had to get over that. I had to be like, I'm going to ask him and then I'll just be patient. Because I can't, just because you ask somebody something doesn't mean that they're going to do it in your time.
Right.
You have
right.
to wait till they do it in their time.
Yeah. And if it's urgent, you have to express that.
Yeah.
Like, if it's something that's really, really, like, bothering you or, like, I need this done, like,
mm-hmm.
then it needs to be stated. Especially because, I mean, like, men generally, if you say something to them, like, and you don't say it's urgent, then they're, you know, if they're doing something else, they're doing something else. Like, they don't, like the therapist said, like, they don't necessarily see it in the same way. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to, you just have to be, like, straightforward, I guess.
Yeah, straightforward. Yeah. Because masculinity in men, they're very logical.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make sense to them.
Right.
Because they're going to be like, well, why do I have to do it now? Like, what's happening now?
Yeah, like, right the second? Yeah. Is there something going on? Where, as opposed to, like, hey, when the refrigerator gets open, there's a smell, and by the end of the night, can you take the bad food out and throw the trash outside? Right. Like, you've now given a time frame,
mm-hmm.
because this is something urgent for me because it's bothering me, mm-hmm. as opposed to, like, hey, when you get a chance, can you wash the dishes? That's not, that doesn't mm-hmm. have a smart, you have to make it a smart goal.
Yeah.
Like, and it's funny because I learned that from work, like, really? Making stuff a smart goal. And, like, so it has to be measurable. It has to have, like, these attributes, and that will help it to not be like, well, I thought, and this is what I thought you meant. Oh, but what I really meant was, so yeah, just spell it out.
Yeah, and I definitely had to work on that. And I think I definitely got there because I will tell him why instead of just saying I need this. I'll say why I need it. Especially if the smell in the refrigerator is definitely one of the mm-hmm. things I always say. Like, it's a smell.
Right.
Or like, I need the, or if the trash is too full, I'll just say, you know, the trash is full. That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't put any more trash in there.
Right. Like, that needs to be taken care of. Yeah.
So I noticed in researching this topic, it's a lot to do with household chores and raising the kids and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think the imbalance comes in because men didn't have to do that for so long. And even though the new men, like our men, they are in a different time and generation because we all go to work now.
Yeah.
They still have it in their...
It's embedded.
Yeah, it's in the patriarchy. It's in the social, it's mm-hmm. society.
Yeah.
So even though women, almost half of the workforce is women, but we still are doing all the housework and raising the kids because that's what we've been doing for hundreds mm-hmm. of years. And men, now they share in work because we can't afford anything.
Right.
So it's like they are sharing the work and going outside and working, but we are still.
Right.
So it's like we're working and doing the house.
Mm-hmm.
They're just working.
Do you think it should be, like, explicitly, like, stated? Like, if I'm about to move in with my significant other, like, do you think it's just better to have that conversation up front? Like, hey, I'm going to take care of this, this, and this. You take it. Like, I know that's really, like, super straightforward and spelled out. But do you think that would help, like, if it was spelled out from the beginning? Like, these are the expectations?
Yes and no. I don't think that you should give someone a list of stuff to do until you can find out if they can do it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because if you didn't live with someone, you don't know what they can do.
Right. You might be like,
yeah. If you tell them to clean the toilet and then you come in and they ain't do the bottom and it's all
crusty and dusty.
Okay. All got all types of stuff because they never cleaned the toilet before. Now, right. I mean, of course they can learn, but do you want somebody to learn to clean the toilet to clean it the first couple months?
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You just got to figure out what they can do. Mm-hmm. Everybody should just do what they're good at.
Right. Like, hey, at this point, we've both lived on our own for a while. What mm-hmm. do you feel like your strong suits are? Like, let's break this down. Because I'm not about to be doing everything, mm-hmm. and I don't want you to be doing everything. So,
because I'll definitely say Mo is better with children.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I had the daycare, he was the one playing with them.
Right.
I was the one feeding them and mm-hmm. Just making sure they was doing, you know, they had activities to do and everything like that. But he was actually playing with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Trust that a conversation always helps. Yeah. Like, a lot of this just goes back to that. Like, you have to communicate properly.
Yeah, definitely. So, like I said, this is mostly a relationship problem, but it's also problems at work, mm-hmm. school, parents and things like that. So there is always, is this America?
Is it?
So what do we always deal with in America? Racism.
I was about to say racism?
Yeah. So there's racial weaponized incompetence. And we see this all the time because we know that in white schools, in predominantly white schools, they don't get taught the same history as maybe a predominantly black school would. Like, we know about Tulsa massacre, and we know about a bunch of things that happened that isn't in the history books.
Right.
But a white school wouldn't teach that, and they come and they get on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and find out about this stuff. And then they're just like, why didn't anyone tell me? Mm-hmm. I remember, it was so funny. It was a couple years ago. The NHL, the National Hockey League, on Juneteenth posted a Black Hockey League. And they said, we want to thank this team. It was a Black Hockey League for creating what hockey is today. So hockey used to be something completely different. And until this black team took a puck and started hitting it around and doing a goal. And that's, they created hockey. Black people created hockey. And all you would think that the, you would think that they would be mad because white people really, you know, that's their sport.
Yeah.
And, but they were mad at.
That they didn't know.
They was mad they didn't know. They wasn't mad that it happened. Like, they was like, what? This one man was like, we didn't do anything.
I mean, and didn't.
Get up at these comments.
And did not.
He was just like, and what was you going to tell us?
Everything they thought they had credit for just got taken from right under them.
But you can tell these people was actually upset even though they was making jokes.
Yeah. Y'all didn't tell us anything. Y'all just let us believe.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
So racial weaponized incompetence is basically a white person expecting black people to always teach them about racism in America.
Yikes.
But they have to go and learn it themselves. So the concept has always been applied to racial disparities in which racial minorities and women are expected to be more educated about and actively involved in addressing issues related to diversity and inclusion than their white counterparts. Mm. Basically, we know all the stuff about racism and they expect us to teach them.
Okay, I've seen a lot of videos about that on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like, why is it our responsibility to inform you about this? Like, do your research. Like, and then they'll be like, oh, I didn't know. Yeah. And that's where the weaponized incompetence from. Yeah. Like, because you have to do your own research. Like, you can't use that if you get pulled over. You can't be like, well, I didn't know.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
No, you can't do that.
So, do you know what critical race theory is? Like, that's fine. 7 in 10 Americans do not know what critical race theory is.
Because it's a word that's thrown around so much. Like, I had African-American studies. Mm-hmm. I've heard it there. I've had college classes where they've talked about it. But you know what? When you hear, when I hear the word, I'm just like,
Yeah.
I know that's awful.
That's most America. So to break it down in the most simplest way possible, without saying critical race theory, teaching about Black history, will say, is saying, well, white people and Black people didn't go to school together. But and then after Brown versus was the Board of Education. They were allowed, so they let Ruby Bridges and all these people go to school.
I know about all that.
Mm-hmm. Critical race theory is saying all that, and they were spit on when they walked in. The parents took those kids out of school. They created homeschool, and you just like go into it. Yeah, actually adding the actual things that happened. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's called critical, because it's teaching you the actual negative and terrible things that Black people went through.
That's so true, because the thing that you see and that you learn in school is like they had separate water fountains. They were in separate schools.
Yeah.
They were, and then like you see a video or you find out that like, oh, they was getting hit and what was the condition of the different water fountains?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in my school, they did teach that the Black water fountain generally wasn't kept good, and it had sometimes they had lead. My mother said it had brown water coming out of it sometimes.
Oh,
yeah. She told us a lot of stuff that happened.
I will say, hearing that now, in elementary school, I learned race theory. I would say by high school, because my African American studies teacher was actually a Black man, he got more into the critical side. And then when I took the African diaspora class in college, then it got even more into,
So critical race theory is for college.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not for, younger people, which is why the conservatives in the MAGA, when they talk about it, they be yapping. When they be yapping about critical race theory, they don't really know what they're talking about, because it's actually for college students, and not actual kids. So despite the headlines about critical race theory in recent years, 7 to 10 Americans don't know what critical race theory is. The same study found out that 52% of Americans support teaching the legacy of racism in school, compared to the 27% of Americans who support critical race theory being taught in schools. So basically, they're supporting the same thing. They just don't know what it is.
Right.
So if 52 Americans say, yes, teach racism in school, and then, but 27 support critical race theory, but they're the same. It's just words, you know? So basically, to admit that critical race theory should be taught in schools would be to admit that white privilege prevails within the legal system and policies. This is something that most Republicans don't want to do in order to keep the legitimacy in the racial system established. Hence, they claim ignorance of the privilege they hold. So a lot of white people use weaponized incompetence to hold on to their power. So they don't want to know about actual racism and things that actually happen. And then when you go and tell them, they're like, oh, who was gonna tell me?
Right. Yikes.
Yeah. Because the greatest lie told to white people is their whiteness. And they have to hold on to it, basically. And a lot of them don't even want it. Like, it's not, so you know how you always talk about you don't like the privilege of being light skinned. Mm-hmm. It's not, so they don't even know that they want it. They just start realizing they're getting treated like Black people. As we noticed over the years, people are way comfortable just talking about white people, like, badly, negatively.
Yeah. All the time.
All the time. Like, it's okay to do that. And when you say something about Black people, it's like, oh, you lose your job. Like that. So people, like, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Like, because of course the population of white people is going down. So like, it's just going to get it's going to switch.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of treating Black people bad, it's going to be treating white people bad. And that's what I think. And I don't think that's right. And, but I feel like if we don't notice it now, if we don't figure out.
Right. It's going to end up reversing.
It's going to revert.
That's what Mila just said. Hi, sis. Said that it's like it reversed itself.
Yeah, it did.
Like over time it's starting to do that, because now, man, people go in on white people, like
they do,
it's okay.
Yeah,
like there's no consequence. Like,
yeah, it's crazy. So when white people choose to intentionally remain uneducated on these topics, they hold the expectation that people within minority groups must do the heavy lifting of explaining these topics. It is not the job of people of color to explain racism and its implications to people that don't make an effort to understand.
Yeah.
So that's racial and weaponized incompetence.
It all comes back to effort. Mm-hmm. Like, whether it's a relationship and who's doing the chores and who's taking care of the kids, the racial side of it, the parents and all of that, the parent and child, the student and teacher, it's all effort. Like, how much effort are you putting in to not be lazy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we have about, 25 more minutes? So... We're going to go through this. Remember how, I don't know if you remember this, but HuffPost used to have a thing where people write in.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, he wrote in a post that is being still shared everywhere today. It's called "She Divorced Me Because I Left Dishes by the Sink."
I think I've heard this one.
Yeah, and I'm going to actually, it's long, so I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm gonna put it on our Facebook. Basically, it said every time she'd walk into the kitchen and find a drinking glass by the sink, she moved incrementally closer to moving out and ending our marriage. I just didn't know that. And the thing that's irritating about this is he said that he was telling people that she left him over dishes, and that's not what it is.
No, not at all. Like, she left because I left some dishes in the sink. No.
Yes. Men are not children, even though we behave like them. Feeling respected by others is important to men. Feeling respected by one's wife is essential to living a purposeful and meaningful life. Maybe I thought my wife should respect me simply because I exchanged vows with her. It wouldn't be the first time I acted entitled. One thing I know for sure is that I never connected putting a dish in a dishwasher with earning my wife's respect. Yeah, she felt like you was disrespecting her because you wouldn't.
That bold part right there, but she didn't want to be my mother.
She didn't want to be my mother.
Yes. And I see another thing I want to say. If you just tell me what you want me to do, I'll gladly do it. Mm-hmm. Now, in some things, yes. But you cannot always say that.
No.
You cannot always say, just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. Yeah, sometimes, but like, if there's a dish, if there the trash is full, if the kid is crying, like, there's just some things that, like, why do I have to tell you?
Yeah, why every time do I have to tell you? That's why I say, when people say men can't read minds, some things you don't have to read my mind.
Yeah,
you should already know.
Yeah, some things are not mind read things.
Yeah,
they are not mind read things. Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. But I put that, I added that on the chat.
Yes.
If anyone wants to see that, read it.
Oh, Mila, I know. So leave my brother alone.
So he said she wanted me to figure out all the things that need done, and devise my own method of task management. I wish I could remember what seemed so unreasonable to me about that at the time. So he really, like, understand what he did.
And now he's coming from the perspective of trying to, like, help other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, don't get left over the dishes, because it's not the dishes.
I thought it was really insightful. So if you want to read that. So, but now we're going to move on to some statistics.
Statistics.
Where's my, okay, here go. Oh, I just said this. Okay. Although women comprise nearly half of the U.S. workforce, they still fulfill a larger share of household responsibilities. Married or partner heterosexual couples in the U.S. continue to divide household chores along largely traditional lines. That makes sense. Okay. With women in the relationship, shouldering primary responsibility for doing laundry, 58%, cleaning the house, 51%, preparing meals, 51%. At the same time, men continue to take the lead in keeping the car in good condition, 69%, and doing yard work, 59%. Mm-hmm. So, women most likely, this is 2019.
Okay.
So, women most likely make decisions about furniture and decorations, laundry, clean the house, prepare the meal, care for the kids, grocery shop, wash the dishes.
Yikes.
It starts to get equal when it comes to paying the bills.
Uh-huh.
And then men plan more family activities.
Oh.
Probably because they have more money.
Money. I was going to say, that one surprised me. But
men make more decisions about savings and investment. Hold on, let me see. Oh, it says both. Both is planned family activities. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And both make decisions on investments. Then it says men keep the car in good condition and men do the yard work. So it's 59% does the yard. Yeah, we said that.
So okay. Men got the money, the yard, and the car, and the women just got everything else.
Everything else, yeah. Okay. So in addition to laundry, cleaning, cooking, women are the primary decision makers when it comes to home decor. Yeah. So we said all that.
And I'd be perfectly fine with that.
Me too. Like,
I don't want you to decorate because it goes back to what James was saying earlier, the standard thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm going to let you do something, I have to actually let you do it. Yeah. And sometimes you just know, like, you probably not going to have the same eye I have for this. Yeah. So just let me go ahead and do this.
But also, he could hate your
right
decorations.
Yeah. And I think you do have to still communicate, like, do you want me to put pink up around the house? Probably not. Like, okay, then let's have a conversation. Yeah. But I'm not going to expect you to do something. Like, if I want you, if I say, can you decorate this room? And it's ugly, then I'm going to be irritated. So, like, let me just go ahead and do this.
Yes, exactly. Because I always bring up this no more, they don't exist anymore, the couple. But I always bring them up when people talk about decorations and weddings and stuff. Because Kanye and Kim, I hate the way Kim decorates. I think Kanye is a way better event planner and decorator than her. I mean, like, she just don't have, like, she, I don't know if you've ever seen her house.
Not Boo for the Ravens. I don't even know who this is.
Huh? Who that? Oh, please.
Absolutely not. Not in this house.
So.
Sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
So, what was I saying? Oh. I don't know if you've ever seen her house, but it's literally no color. It's white and gray. It's,
no, that's boring.
There's nothing in the rooms. It's just really ugly to me. And Kanye decorations and his everything, he has life in his stuff. So like
look like a blob.
I'll show you. But like it's not gender at all, but it is like this said, it's mostly women that do it. Because men don't really care like that. You know that meme?
They don't be caring.
When they have, like, men would live like this if they did have a woman. It was a TV and then, a
mattress. I've seen a few. I've been to a few houses.
That was like that.
And it was the men that lived by themselves. Yeah. They lived like that.
They can say, I got all I need right here.
Right here. I don't need it. Or when they say, what colors do you see? And it'd be like a whole bunch of different colors, and the men be like, it's yellow.
It's yellow, but it's like four different
colors. It's like five yellows sitting there. What do you mean it's yellow?
And yeah, because they see colors differently than us. So that would make more sense for us to decorate. So I'm going to read some tweets, and then we're going to go on to the Kiki.
Okay.
So one tweet from Cooper Streaming. Someone in my mentions was stunned that weaponized incompetence is a real thing. Understandable, this is a new term for old behavior. But for fun, as a treat, how about we share our most absurd experiences of weaponized incompetence? Kelly A. Mangan said, well, you have the weirdest names. But anyway,
here we go, talking about white people.
I'm sorry. But they talk about us. And I'm like, I can't even say your name. I was just phonetic.
Bye.
They have been silent. Jeez, and
good night.
Okay, I asked my ex, a 40-year-old man who'd been living on his own for 20 years, if he'd boil some water in the kettle for me. He asked, how do I do that? To be clear, this was his house, his stove, and his kettle.
I know you lying.
Why would he say, why he buy it?
Right. How do you do that? You just put the water in.
This is from Disco Princess. My husband, I don't know where to put the dishes. I don't know where to put the dishes away. It's confusing. Also, my husband, I know the location of all parts in my warehouse. My inventory is organized perfectly. Me. And yet you don't know where the dishes are stored. This is from RJ Crester. My ex put bleach in a dark load intentionally. When I asked him why, he said, because I don't want to do laundry and you'll never ask me again.
It's that thing. Yeah. That, Yo, he admitted you paying it for all of my clothes.
Yeah, two more.
No.
Normalish vegan. My ex tried to tell me he didn't know how to use bleach in the washing machine. I'm like, you put it in the hole next to the detergent that says bleach. He's a software architect that makes six figures.
Yikes.
Plus, when the men in my family can fix engines, computers, and do home repairs, but act like breaking down a box for recycling is impossible.
Absolutely not.
Oh, there's so many more of them, but they're actually going to go into the Kiki because we're going to talk about more stories.
Yes, we will get into the Kiki. Just give me 2.5 seconds, yeah, guys.
And if you had any like experiences with weaponized incompetence, definitely put it in the comments so we can read it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Yes. Our little artwork. All right. So for our new listeners, because we do have a couple, this is our Kiki segment. And during this, what happens is I'm going to read a story that was submitted to us from different places. And again, guys, if you want to submit a Kiki, we'll tell you how to do that at the end. So it's going to be about the topic. I'll read the story. And we will share our feedback about the story. Some of these get a little crazy, y'all, and I don't read them beforehand. So we'll see what we get.
Yeah.
Good luck. Because the last couple episodes, y'all been talking about some crazy stuff on these Kikis. And I'm like, I should have probably read this beforehand. All right. First story. We have a 10-year-old, and last year was the first year of middle school for our baby. I drop him off every morning and pick him up. I have for the last 5 to 6 years. My husband works a late job, so I let him sleep and I take care of the school schedule. This month, I decided to take a much-needed vacation with my girls to Southern Cali after Christmas. I had a talk with my husband about dropping off our son for the week while my mom would pick him up and keep him until my husband got home. Everything was settled. Time for vacation. Went to California, had a great sun-baked time, and come home. I spoke to my family all week, and nothing was out of the ordinary. When I was back, unpacked, and settled, it was Sunday. I was in my son's room preparing his clothes for the school the next day. We were talking about random kid stuff, and he let it slip that he didn't go to school last Monday and Tuesday. He said something along the lines of, "We were both on vacation." I say let it slip because he made the gesture of covering his mouth after. I left the room and asked my husband, "Why didn't our son go to school on Monday?" This man said, it's literally spaced out like that, "I didn't know where the school was, so he stayed here the first 2 days." "Excuse me?" I asked him if he was by himself. He said it was only a couple of hours. I was hot at this moment, but I asked him, what did he tell my mother? He said that he told her not to worry about it. Then my mom called and said she talked to our son, and she's the one who took him to school the rest of the week. I can't explain the disbelief I felt. I didn't speak the rest of the night. How did you not Google the address? It's everywhere on the school mail. How do you not know where your only child goes to school? And to make matters worse, when I spoke to my mom, I found out she didn't tell me because she always liked my husband and was so upset I married an idiot and didn't even want to talk about it. That is from SS. Y'all. Ain't no way.
That's not real.
This is not a real story.
Wait.
I refuse to believe that this is a real story.
And I believe it.
Why don't you know where your child goes to school?
They never took the kid. So they didn't think that they had to know where to. But why would you leave the baby in the house? I mean, it's not a baby. Right. It's 10. But like,
and so you talk to her mother. Ask the mother. Like, I know you probably didn't want to sound dumb, but you sound even dumber now. Yeah. So you could have just been like, "Hey, can I want to make sure I have," you could have phrased it a whole different way. "I wanted to make sure I had the right address because I don't usually take him. Can you confirm what the address of his school is?" Mm-hmm. There you go. Done.
Just so.
What? Okay, I'm going to move on to the next story because there ain't no way. That's not real. That's not real. Next story.
You know it's real.
No. My ex developed type 2 diabetes when we were together. Very fit, very bad diet, and he was given two different types of insulin, metformin, and a big stack of paperwork to educate him on his new diagnosis. He's the first in his entire family to get it. I don't remember which glycemia applies to this anymore. Basically, when his blood sugar would get too high, he'd fall asleep and start slipping into a diabetic coma. Guess who stuck to a proper schedule for maybe 4 months before they started ignoring when they needed insulin to the point that they started slipping into diabetic naps every other week?
Oh my God.
He just wanted to wait for me to wake him up when that happened because he knew I would and that I'd bring him his medical bag and everything to fix it, putting 100% of that stress on me, actual risk of a coma. But nah, your fiance's got it. It's cool. It wasn't the main reason, but it's a big reason I ended things with him. Having my own big medical problems, I get how daily maintenance is a pain, and I get needing more help than the average person, which is probably why I was so fine with helping in those cases for so long. But at the same time, there's a line to be drawn. It's fucking insulin.
Yes.
And that's from Nadine.
That's crazy. He was putting his life in her hands.
Literally.
I wonder if he's alive.
Because now she's gone.
Yeah.
Like, what?
That's crazy.
Yikes. Mm-mm-mm. All right, next one. I once worked at the same cafe as my partner. I worked the opening shifts and he worked the closing shifts. During my morning shifts, I would text him, and if he didn't text back, I knew that he slept through his alarms and would be late for his shift, as he frequently was. When this happened, I would tell him, when this happened, I would call him and wake him up so he could get his ass to work. The first few times I called him and woke him up one time, he was super grateful. So I made the mistake of making it a habit. Eventually, it got to the point where it was expected. He stopped being so grateful and was grumpy the entire day if I could have given him more time by calling earlier. One day, he slept through his alarms and I didn't call to wake him up. He was hours late, got written up, and was incredibly mad at me. We had a huge argument. He blamed me for him being late, saying that he wouldn't have been written up if it weren't for me. I told him that I wasn't his parent. I can only be responsible for myself, etc. Eventually, he did calm down and apologize for blaming me for his mistake. A week later, the same exact thing happened again. Same situation, same argument. I replied saying that I'd never wake him up for work again. He was fired shortly thereafter.
You're good.
And that's from CL.
That's crazy.
That's what I meant. You just got to stop sometimes. Yeah. Like, you are really, really relying on me to make sure you do daily things.
Like, especially a kid going to work.
Yeah.
How are you not going to work? Like, at least.
What?
That's basic.
Yes. Lila said it. Take accountability.
Yes.
All right. Next one. I had the mumps last year and asked my worthless ex to take me. My worthless ex. To make me some food because I was so out of it. He opted to make ramen in the microwave and fucked it up so bad that I had to go help him with my 103 degree fever. And this was after coming back to my bedroom twice to ask me for directions. Pathetic. From Annie. And this is why you gotta learn to read. Because it's no way that you couldn't read the package and do that.
It's ramen. Why don't I know how to make ramen?
Right. And even that too. But if you really don't know, if you don't look on that directions, like, You didn't even try to look
at the recipe. It's right there.
Because you were like, I'm going to go ask her. Because
they want she'll
help me. Yeah. I know she'll help me, so I'm not going to read the instructions.
I'm going to eat some ramen when I go upstairs.
Oh, that sounds good. We'd be hungry, y'all. Mila said, maybe he can't read? I mean, at this point, that's better than the alternative.
Yes.
All right. My male housemate, he had never done any... Wait. Okay. He had never done any dishes or cooked or cleaned in his life. We literally had to show him how to do a dish, and then he wouldn't do it for days. Once he left a pot with food on the stove for about a week and then dumped it out, but didn't clean it for another week. Another time he asked me and our female housemate to clean the whole house because he didn't want to get his hands dirty. He had no idea how to cook for himself and either begged us for leftovers or to cook for him or straight up stole food.
Oh my God.
He ended up He ended up filling the house with smoke after putting a plate in the oven to cook something. No idea what it was because it became unidentifiable and passing out drunk because he was also an alcoholic. He was nearly 30 years old. I finally snapped and asked my roommate why he couldn't do simple things like change the fucking toilet paper when he used it all. He told me he didn't know where the toilet paper was. A, buy your own, then you know. It's under the bathroom sink, the place where most people put toilet paper. I know that's a lame example, but God, he couldn't even do something as simple as that. After this and him being moved out, he still has tried to text me and be friends. Wow. And that's from Tim.
Mm.
Yikes. So those are all of our stories. That's awful.
Yeah.
Like,
no, so Tim, roommate. I don't know if that was weaponized or just incompetence.
Yeah.
He probably just didn't know how to take care of himself.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like, doesn't something kick in as a human when you don't know how to take care of yourself?
And you start trying to figure it out.
Like, you start taking the steps to try. Like, don't you? I don't know. We got Google now. Back then, we had to go to the library.
Right. And all these people leave. So, like, when they're left by their significant other, usually, then what do they do? Because they still don't know how to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Their house is ill. It'd probably be black.
We saw what the man house looked like.
Oh, yeah.
When she was gone.
He threw that stuff all over there. Ain't no way.
That's crazy. I need to survive. How do I do? Yeah, that's how they be acting.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Putting this right up there. I need to survive. How do I do that? They need to just read a book. Like, but yeah, they're not going to read.
Nope. So what are your final thoughts about weaponized incompetence?
I think that people got to stop being taken from their mothers. I think that people need to learn how to live by themselves before they live with somebody else.
Yeah,
because you need to learn the basic skills, and maybe if you don't have a crutch to lean on, then you'll actually do it, because you're not going to have nobody to make you, like, to do everything for you, to make your ramen and fold your underwear.
Exactly.
Like, you're going to have to learn. So that's a big thing for me now, because, you know, I was with somebody before that I took from their mother, and it was not a good idea. And so now I'm like, no, like, I need you to be self-sufficient. I can't do it.
Yeah, especially because, you know, you're at an age now. Well, that's just not going to happen.
Right. It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. So our activity is very short today.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lady named Emma. I think she's from England. And she writes comics. It's basically comics about weaponized incompetence. It's called The Mental Load.
Oh.
And she's a feminist. She calls herself a feminist comic. It calls it a feminist comic. So I put the link on there if you guys want to read the comics. But this one I'm going to read is called You Should Have Asked. So it's a lady. She's standing in a pile of clothes. But the first picture is, it says, back when I was in my first job, a colleague invited me over for dinner, and the lady comes in. She has a bottle, I guess that's wine, let's say, has wine.
We'll go with that.
And the husband opened the door. They have two kids sitting at a bar thing, tabletop island, and the mom is saying hi, and she looks like she's cooking. It says, when I got there, she was trying to feed her kids while preparing our meal. Mom says, have a seat, grab a drink, I'll be right there. And the husband sat down already, opening the wine. It is wine. Okay. She said, okay. After a while, the pot started to overflow. The mom is with the kids, and she's saying, come on, sweetie, make an effort. She's talking to her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady is sitting with the husband while he's just yapping away with his wine. And everything spilled on the floor. The pot is overflowing because the mom is distracted because she's teaching the kids.
Right.
The husband says, what disaster. What did you do? That would infuriate me.
What didn't you do?
She says, what do you mean? What did I did? I did everything. That's what I did. Yeah, she said that to the husband while the guest is watching. He says, but you should have asked. I would have helped. That was basically the end of the comment. So it's a scene that must seem familiar to new parents, to many parents, sorry, many new parents. And I thought it said a lot about how things get organized at that stage in our lives. So the comics keep going and everything.
Oh, but, I read some of them.
Yeah. So it's basically, comics about that. And I thought it was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
How she, you see how so many of them, right?
Yeah.
But she has a book and everything. And yeah, it's called The Mental Load. Basically, women have a mental load that we're thinking all the time about what we have to get done.
Right, right.
All the time. We're doing it. I'm about to say when we're driving, like I drive, but when you're driving, when you're having sex, when we're cooking, we're thinking about doing something else. When we're watching TV, we're thinking about something else. When we're scrolling, we're probably thinking about something else. We're always thinking. And I always think about how people say when men go to sleep, they turn off the light and they go to sleep. And women, they pick up the toys, they pick up the clothes to do put away the food. They maybe feed the cats or something like that. And then they go to sleep. And while they're in the bed, their mind is still racing.
Yeah.
While the husband is already asleep.
Snoring.
And I'm like, maybe that's something that we need to work on as women, honestly, because that's really nothing
no one else can do.
Yeah.
Gotta stop.
Yeah. We got to figure that out and be like, hey, can you actually the other night I did. I was like, hey, babe, you know, when you go to sleep, could you turn off this and do this and this and this? And just like, so I wouldn't have to worry about it or anything like that. I'm just starting to open my mouth more, you know, because unlike other people in these stories and what we learned tonight, if I ask Mo to do the one thing, he'll continue to do it.
Yeah.
So like, there's always these jokes about whenever you tell men to put away food and they cover it wrong and they like he put the whole crock pot in the refrigerator. Right. The other day I asked Mo to put the food away because I was just too tired, and he put it away, but he put it in like baggies, like, and the whole thing was covered, and I never even thought to put them in those baggies that I had bought them and I don't use them. It's like baggies for loaves of bread.
Oh,
and he put them all in there, and I was like, this is genius.
Like, right.
You know, I think we both have our incompetent times, definitely, but I think that
it's a partnership. It's a balance.
It's definitely a balance, and I definitely get ideas from him and he gets ideas from me, like, hey, that was a better way of doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So was there anything else?
No, this was eye-opening.
Yeah. I feel like we could have gone longer and longer, but
this could have been a real long episode, y'all, because people just be.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, I didn't even know until recently that whole thing had a name. Like this whole subject has a name.
Yeah.
I know what it is, but I didn't realize it's a whole thing now.
Because you dealt with it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would tell, like, going through it, I definitely thought about different scenarios that you went through. Like, yeah, oh man, I was like, dang, Chris, I watched Kristen go through this.
And I really was like, I'm not doing nothing.
Yeah. But I think some of that was just incompetence too.
Yeah.
It was both.
It was both for that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. But so thanks for tuning in.
Yes. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Make sure you guys follow us. We will be here every Monday unless something happens, and we'll, of course, inform you guys.
Yeah.
But the plan is to be here on Mondays so that we can always give y'all some fun content. And just remember, of course, we're going to get back to this, but every third episode is also after dark. So,
yeah,
you know, put those kids to bed for that one.
Absolutely. And don't forget Queer Agenda Coffee.
Queer Agenda Coffee. Again, I'm showing this to you guys real quick. This is their Instagram.
Yeah, that's the Instagram. I follow them on TikTok. Follow them on Instagram.
And this is the TikTok.
Yeah, and definitely support them. We're going to be drinking this for until after dark, and then we'll have another company.
Yes.
And if you know someone that does drinks, coffee, tea, alcohol, maybe not edible, but we will not. Okay, we won't drink the edible, but we'll have it here.
Yes. And again, guys, for Kiki segments, if you have music, if you have things that you want us to try for activities, things to feature, make sure that you are following us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and send us a DM or send us an email. We have all this listed on our Facebook, but I'll make another post to update so that you guys can see all of our socials to follow us. And also now the platform we use for recording is allowing us to stream live on Instagram. So we're going to start that too soon.
Yeah. And if you want to be a guest, the way that we do guests, we follow their lead. So if you have a topic or if you do something that you know you have a lot of knowledge in, because we don't just yap. So
we got to do research.
Yeah, we research and we actually bring the facts. So if you have a topic that you want to talk about and you think that you are really good at it, maybe I'm a fat check you. But if you want to be a guest, you know, she'll put the ways to contact us and please contact us and put guests in the subject so we can know what that is.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're going to head out.
Yeah.
This is called Work and Play by Sammy Bauer.
All right.
This was great.
Great episode. We will see you guys next week. Bye.
Tell me how you feel, don't say you're fine. We back and forth every time out of line. But I'm lying if I say we don't got the time. It ain't my fault, ain't my fault. It's a blind spot or a state of mind. Can't even tell the difference if you're real or when you're lying. I be doubting all the benefits, but fuck it, I don't mind. I handle this shit like my overall 99. Inadvertently, you be hurting me, no cap. The curtain closed, the lights dim, it's a steel trap. You can't tell me you don't do that shit. You can't be on the gram, new phone, who this, huh? I know to you is probably sunlight. And then again, that's probably why we fight, but I ignore it. Separating all the lies, see if we can vibe. I'll be waiting outside, saying, baby, we'll be fine. There's not much more I'ma say. You're so busy through the day. I know that you wanna stay. You just wanna work and play. There's not much more I'ma say. You're so busy through the day. I know that you wanna stay. You just wanna work and play. Storytelling hereditary, I fill the void. I make space at my own pace, I don't wait. I'm on point, I'm all for it, it's nothing new. Saying it's a hobby, nigga, this is all I fucking do. Hate when niggas say they understand, you don't understand. How I got a fucking degree inside of my father's crib. When's your boy gonna do it? When's he gonna win? When's he gonna have a girl? Now I question where he live. The path I take, yeah, I know I got a choice. My mom off it, off topic, it's all love. My girl with it, she see the vision, it's all love. Funny how love could be a love that's not enough. Funny how buzz can suddenly make you give a fuck. Funny how I got to where I am when I did enough. Funny how you don't understand till you want some. But you ain't gonna say that. But you ain't gonna say that. Separating all the lies, see if we could vibe. I'll be waiting outside, saying, baby, we'll be fine.
There's not much more I'ma say. You're so busy through the day. I know that you wanna stay. You just wanna work and play. There's not much more I'ma say. You're so busy through the day. I know that you wanna stay. You just wanna work and play. There's not much more I'ma say. You're so busy through the day.